Oh, it's a wonderful time of the year. David Gately joins us now. Good morning to you, David.
Good morning, Gareth. Yes, it is.
Did you enjoy Saturday? Group 1 racing in Sydney and also in Melbourne. There was plenty happening basically every 20 minutes.
I think that's a great way to sum it up. I don't have any interest, as I've mentioned a million times, on interstate rivalry. We just love racing, 90% of us. Leave the 10% to sook about whatever they sook about. And we'll just enjoy the racing. Every 20 minutes, I think the heart rate was up for about 4 or 5 hours. Fantastic stuff.
Okay, Gator, time to talk about our straight six here, six talking points. And then, of course, we let our friends here on RSN Central ask you a few questions. And the number to text in is 0416 905052. Let's talk about the Caulfield Cup. And would you be backing the Caulfield Cup winner in the Melbourne Cup?
No. I think, the win was terrific. All honours to him. He travelled into the race so well for so long, and it just shows, you know, what the Japanese do at home. They run quick time for a long time, and that's generally what makes a good athlete. He was probably the last horse off the bid, joined in, won well. So that was 2,400. You'd have to say... others who were under pressure before him and stronger than him late, if you're doing form, you'd have to say you'd gravitate to those more so at 3,200. And there's plenty of recent examples of that sort of horse. So when it becomes a serious marathon and endurance test, I think a few of the others might have him covered.
Okay, so Murder Glaze was the winner of that Caulfield Cup. Murder Glaze is $9 and second favourite for the Melbourne Cup. Constantinople finished fourth, unlucky. Does it deserve to be the Cup favourite now at $7, Gator?
Yeah, I think he does, because he was a pretty difficult run to miss in that he sort of missed the boat, coming to the turn, then copped a check 250, which we all saw. Still managed to run home race fastest at the end of 2,400 metres. Add to that, he profiles like previous winners. I mean, he brought in near identical form to Cross Counter, who won last year's Cup, coming off that Group 2 at York. He's a Northern Hemisphere 3-year-old, getting in light, won't get a penalty now. If you're framing a market, he would be right at the top end.
Because he fits the profile, especially similar with the 3-year-old Northern Hemisphere. 3-year-old, of course, that's what Cross Counter was last year, with no weight on his back, and he bolted home and he showed his class. Of course, Cross Counter's back once again, currently at $15. Vowan declares yet to have gain a start really in the Melbourne Cup. It'll be line ball basically whether he has to have a run again or they take the punt and see if he can sneak into the Melbourne Cup. Your thoughts on that galloper's chances?
Yeah, winning hope. I think he is an exceptional endurance athlete. Go back to his 3,000-metre win in Queensland. He had a big weight advantage on Big Duke Shaw, but he absolutely thrashed him. Yeah. And it was a brutal test, 3,000 metres. So that tells me he's an exceptional endurance athlete. And what he did on Saturday was obvious. Sort of Murder Glass went around him, and he was actually under the whip at the time. So he just couldn't quicken at the 2,400 like the winner. But watch him again on and through the line. He's coming again, isn't he? So he's the horse getting to 3,200 with a weight advantage. I think beats home Murder Glaze, all things being equal.
Okay, there you go. So Vow de Clare can beat home Murder Glaze in that Melbourne Cup. Mirage Dancer finished third. Benny Mellum and Trent Bussett and Natalie Young. Was that a tick?
Yeah, good. He was one of many good runs in it. It was an odd race, wasn't it? There were probably 11 forgive runs in a really messy sort of contest. But he's run very well, and the reality is they're all going to front up again. So, you sort of have to take the race at face value. He travelled well to the turn. He sort of got through and he ran on strongly. He was eighth fastest last 200, though. He was very good. Just had one or two ahead of him on the day, that was all.
Okay, and the other race is there in our straight six at Caulfield. What about thought of that? Can it win a derby?
Yeah, he can. Obviously, they're in two minds which way they'll go, but if he heads that way, he absolutely can. Look, he did get away with some pretty easy sections, but gave a massive kick and times, you know, on the day relative, very good. So he's got terrific closing speed. Two runners in the blinkers for two very big wins. It's a great sign. So he's, you know, he thrashed Warning. He was coming off a really big win himself. And there was another gap back to third. So, yeah, he's a live threat to the current favourite, I would have thought, if they go that way.
Would you go to the Derby or the McKinnon?
Oh, look, it's not a problem I have to worry about.
No.
Look, he could run very well in either race, I would have thought. He looks like he'll certainly stay. You know, he can sustain speed and give that strong kick. So, look, he could run well in both those races.
Were you disappointed, or how did you rate Vegas Jules' performance, of course, in the Ethereal Stakes? Gamay was strong to the line, but Vegas Jewel, I think off a slow pace, was pretty good. Gator, would you agree?
Yes, she's very good. I mean, swap the runs, you swap the result. Gamay just had the perfect run. Just off them, the stop-start tactics, beautiful stalking position, peeled out. To the winner's credit, look, she fought hard when Vegas Jewel came, but Vegas Jewel having start number three, making ground, a sustained run a long way from home in a stop-start race, and goes down 0.2 of a length, was probably the best run in the race, but just didn't finish first.
Gator, what about as we head to Sydney now? Yes, yes, yes. Did he surprise you to win like he did in the Everest?
Not at all. I rated him as one of the three winning hopes. I said he, Sander Anna Lane, and Acadia Queen were the only three I thought could win the race and the only three I had in the quaddie. He, as I mentioned, you know, he actually ran on the same day as Acadia Queen in the lead-up race when beaten by Bibberwack in a super-fast run to the Roses. If you forensically break down the times, he measured up really well, and he had 57 kilos. He dropped to 53 on Saturday. He sat back off a fierce speed, 5.9 lengths above class average. They still ran home above class average. Overall time, obviously, smashing a track record, 7 lengths above average, 15.6 lengths above overall averages. What an outstanding race, an outstanding concept, an outstanding field. And, you know, okay, it doesn't have Group 1 status, but who cares? It's clearly become a stallion-making race. We know Yes, Yes, Yes is now worth a small fortune. What a great win. Sander Anna Lane didn't lose any admirers. He's run another track record himself. Just had a horse in front of him. So what a champion he is.
He's a champion. There's no doubt about that, Sander Anna Lane. He was probably a little bit unlucky. Behind, say, those winners, was there any unlucky hard luck stories in the Everest that you thought maybe they could have finished a lot closer than they did?
Yeah, I think Pierre should have finished a fraction closer, but it wouldn't, in my very humble opinion, wouldn't have tested the winner. Classic Legend was the one that didn't get the room at the key stage. He picked up and hit the line really nicely. He was actually third fastest home without that momentum. So I think they're the connections that could leave the track thinking, oh, you know, we'll never know. But what he has done is run very, very well, and a horse on that upward spiral. So I wonder if he'll hang around for another crack next year.
Yeah, and what about, say, the other horse that you tipped to win? I think you tipped her on top, Acadia Queen. What did you think of her performances? And this is one of the questions from Len through Facebook, and they're coming through thick and fast now. So how did you rate her performance there on Saturday?
Look, I think she's a forgive run. I was sort of watching it live, and I'd never seen her that close to the speed.
No.
And when I say that speed, it was 33.68, the first 600 off a standing start. I mean, that is absolutely low-flying. Look at the Prives race that Brutal was in, and Brutal was considered, you know, an Everest hope. They went 35 seconds. So that race was run, what, 35 minutes earlier. And Nature Strip would have been leading home of the Brave by some 8 lengths with 600 to run. So here she is 4 lengths off the lead. She would have been leading home of the Brave 4 lengths.
Yeah.
And she just couldn't finish off. I mean, she didn't quicken. And then she was hampered, but she was beaten at the time. In my opinion, everyone's got a view. But it has to be a forgive run. I think if they had their time over, they'd ride her back with where the trifecta were. They were back last, second last, and fourth last, and savaging the line. Let's see where she heads. She'll go to that Golden Eagle and probably win it.
Yeah, it was unusual, really, because you usually see the Bob Peters runners get back and run on, and she's one horse that's got tactical speed, but I guess McDonough wanted to use that gate but he just burned too many candles. And I don't think she's just not used to going that quick in the first part. So it made it hard for her to really finish off. But it might, I don't know if she would have won, but she definitely would have finished closer if she was out the back with a Santa Ana lane. And, but maybe she's a horse that's better suited to a mile to 2,000 metres or the 1,500 metres of the Golden Eagle. I did read that Bob Peters was disappointed in the run and he's yet to make up a decision or confirm whether she does go to the Golden Eagle there on Saturday week. I would imagine she would with all that prize money up for grabs.
Yeah, look, he's a better judge than me. He knows his horse better than I do. If he was disappointed, then I certainly take that on face value. Look, it was no fault of any rider. She just jumped too well. She jumped beautifully and put herself in the race. She seemed to travel well. But to just, you know, if you, any athlete knows, if you're going for a run and you're going way too fast, of course it's going to impact your finish.
Yeah.
You know, and it just out of her comfort zone, again, just in my opinion.
Could have just been the run that she needed to be primed and relaxed for the Golden Eagle in a couple of weeks' time. I think she's out to $4 at the moment. Hey, these questions are coming through, Gator, so I won't muck around. I'll try and get through most of them. What about Red Verdon in the Melbourne Cup? Huge on the weekend. That's from Cuffy. Should we be backing it for the Melbourne Cup at 50-1?
I wouldn't talk you out of it at 50-1, for sure. I think there were better runs in the Caulfield Cup. And look, we should reference that the race this year hasn't rated super high. Just as an odd sort of messy race, and there wasn't a lot of strength in their last 600 metres figures or overall time. Now, the asterisk on that is it did rain twice during the day as well, so it's not a disaster. But he certainly was tight at such a key stage and copped a check and then finished off well. So it's run well, but so did 12 of them.
This is Racing Rewind with David Gately on this Monday morning. He joins us every Monday to dissect the weekend's racing. Gate, I want to ask you about that Caulfield track because the times weren't that quick when you have a look at the data. But how much as a pro punter and a pro form expert like yourself take that into consideration with the weather conditions on the day? The wind changed direction about three times. There was rain. It was difficult, I think, for horses to run time, really.
Yeah, that's right. And it's all relative to the day, really. I mean, we use averages against the class because it helps us. You know, does it necessarily help us find winners? Look, I'm dubious, but it certainly makes us sound smarter than what we probably are. So times on the day is king for me. The problem with Saturday is when you get changing wind direction and strength, you get rain during the day, you certainly have to factor that in and temper those thoughts. Again, you know, in my opinion.
This is from Clark. Does that yes win make Bivouac immoral in the Metacado on Friday night?
Oh, if he stays upright.
So yes, basically, Clark. This is from Matt. Should Humidor get into the Cox Plate?
Look, he's probably earned his spot there, hasn't he? But so have many of the others. You know, I think I noticed one factor they use in determining the field is a term called X factor. I've got no idea what the definition of that is.
Yes.
But, look, he doesn't have any left, probably, whereas a horse like Chaco Shark and Castelvecchio clearly do. I think the latter two add much more interest to the race.
Well, that's X factor Gator. When they add interest, that's what they mean by X factor.
Yeah, well, there you go. So I'm glad you should write for the dictionary. We'll get you another gig, mate. When's the next volume of that?
Yeah, but sometimes you don't have to take the piss. Sometimes that's how you describe X Factor. It's like you when you're competing in a marathon. You're the X Factor to that competition because we just don't know what you are going to produce, but you get the people there, if you know what I mean.
You crack me up. Yeah, so short answer, I would have the other two in. Just purely from an interest sake, I would take Castelvecchio and Tiago Shark over Humidor, but it's, you know, I don't get a say, so.
We're with David Gately here for Racing Rewind, the great man, and we're going through a few of your questions on our social media platforms on Twitter at RSN927 or our Facebook page or our SMS line 0416905052. Gator, this is from Sam. Thoughts on Prince of Arran? How would he fare in the Melbourne Cup if he gets in?
Yeah, well, they placed in it last year. Look, I had some reservations about the Herbert Power, but his run was the best run in that race, in my opinion. He did a lot of work in the run and was blouse late by the chosen one, who wasn't disgraced at all in the Caulfield Cup, but others were better than him. Look, he was right near the trifecta at about the 500, and he couldn't finish off. So, look, I think he can run very well in it, without any doubt, and he proved that, didn't he, last year in a really strong version of the race.
Can you get Gator's opinion on if Miami Bound can win the Kennedy Oaks?
I think she was found out a little bit on Saturday, but look, she obviously comes back to her own sex, which will be helpful. But she tried to match motors with Warning in that run and was still a sound effort, and the race rated well, as mentioned, but 6 lengths is a fair way off the winner, and she was even, 2.2 lengths off Warning. But none of those will be there in the Oaks because they're males. So I think, she's one of many in the conversation for sure.
This is from Andy Gator. What do you know about Cox Plate favourite, Lise Grasseur?
I know that it beat a horse called Kosicki, who then was competitive against some absolute elites after that. And what she can do is ride the speed and run quick time overall, which is a pretty good sign, and we saw that, didn't we, with the winner of the Caulfield Cup there.
Yeah.
I also know that she has beaten home 13 individual Group 1 winners in her last three starts.
So she sounds to me that you think she's the horse to beat early on in the Cox Plate right now.
If I had to lob a selection today, I think she'd be top seed based on what I saw on the weekend and what I've seen from home and what I've seen through that horse called Kosicki, who went to France and ran the arc, winner to 3 lengths, I think.
Yeah.
And as I say, thrashed a horse called Kluger when they clashed. Kluger's the horse that gave Winx a scare in her farewell run in Sydney.
This is Mark from Sale. Is Ready, Set, Sale a forgive run, unlucky twice now, and has flit form? Would you give it one more chance, Gator?
Oh, that's a total forgive run on Saturday.
Yeah.
I mean, she got into a great spot and was edging off, and then there was no run there. Pulled up with all sorts of issues and lameness as well. So, a non-event.
Would you give Mr. Quickie a start in the Cox Plate? This is from David.
He's behind Castelvecchi and the Shark for me as well. But it just depends. You know, there'll be natural attrition probably in the next 24, 48 hours, but I've got a few ahead of him, but I wouldn't say no.
So you're thinking, say, with Castelvecchio, it's a two-year-old Group 1 winner. Why do you think it should gain a start in the Cox Plate if you're sitting down and giving your thoughts to the committee there tomorrow morning when they ring you up and ask for your opinion, Gator?
Yeah, nice, send the invoice. They
do something for free for once.
Yeah, he's a horse that is exceptionally promising in an exceptional year for three-year-olds, and I think that was well proven on Saturday. Given yes, just beat one of the best sprint fields I've seen, and broke the track record. He will be strong at 2,000 metres. It can unearth a champion, and we only have to go back a couple of years to see So You Think, who probably wouldn't have got a run in the race if it was all down to just current ratings. But that's the answer. I want to see him in the race.
At the end of the day, when they sit down and make a decision tomorrow morning, the Moonee Valley Committee, there's going to be people that think, what are they thinking? Obviously, a horse like A Trap for Fools missed out, won a McKinnon Stakes. So You Think just snuck into the field. I think there was some people saying that he should be in and some people saying that he shouldn't be in. But then again, you made me confused what an X Factor is these days. But yeah. I guess they need to take that into consideration. So how would you describe Castelvecchio then?
I think he's a very good horse.
Yep.
So he and Shadow Hero were both terrific in that the race in Sydney, the Spring Stakes. And I think he can, either of them, if they were in the race, could run very well in it for sure.
Yeah, so Tiako Shark could definitely win the Cox Plate if it does gain a start and gets a little bit of luck.
Yeah, I think he can run very well in it for sure.
All right then, mate. Now, I'm looking forward to Moonee Valley on Saturday, Friday night, of course, with the Manikato as well, a terrific sprint race at Group 1 level. Should be an absolute beauty. Look forward to catching up with you next week, Gator. We appreciate your time as always.
Been a pleasure, mate.
You're my X Factor. You always will be my X Factor. Don't you ever forget that.
I won't forget. I've tattooed it.
Thank you. There's David Gately with Racing Rewind.